Good to see everyone this morning. We are in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We're going to do verses 1 and 3. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, but fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today. Thankful for all the many blessings. Lord, we're so thankful for the grace that you've given us through Jesus Christ, and just ask that you'll help us to be obedient in the way you'd have us to. And Lord, if there be anyone here that has never accepted you, Lord, just ask that they'll come to know you as their Savior. Lord, we're just so thankful for all you've done for us. Just ask you continue to watch and care over us. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've been talking about followers of God, following God as saints. That's the title of my message this morning. And we've been looking at Ephesians, the fifth chapter. It talks about followers of God. And here in this followers of God, we find, I've been preaching through the four things, how we follow God. And following God, we do that as children. We've talked about that. And as we follow God, we also are to do it in love, walking in love. And then this morning, we're going to talk about followers of God as becometh saints. And then the last one we're going to look at is following God, that we should be thankful for all that he has done for us. So as we talk about following God and the things that we should do as disciples and as followers of God, and as we talk about as become a saints, this third verse talks about three different things here, three groups of sins that should not be named among us. We as children of God may make mistakes, right? And we all make mistakes. We're all sinners. But these aren't the kind of sins that we should be doing. But we can get caught up in all kinds of sins. Fornication, sexual sins, uncleanliness. And if you look at the Greek words, it talks about lustful living or just living for yourself, being selfish and that kind of stuff. Covetousness, greediness. So let these things not be named among you as becoming saints. Neither, and then it goes on and it lists three other types of sins. And these are sins of the mouth or of language, filthiness, obscene language, foolish talking, jesting, vulgar talk. James talks about he that can tame the tongue, right? It's interesting, there's three kinds of sins it talks about that we can do, you know, physically and with our mind and stuff. And then it talks about three kinds of sins that we do with our mouth. We get our mouth can get us in a lot of trouble in lots of different ways, and that's what it's talking about. So let these not be named among you, those three in verse 3, and then neither should this other stuff. But we should be as becometh saints. And so that is the idea this morning, following God as saints. This word saint is kind of interesting. It actually comes from the Greek word that means holy or set aside. The same word that's translated saint is translated holy in the Holy Spirit. It's translated holy and holy Father, holy one, talking about Jesus Christ, holy scriptures, holy prophets. And when we talk about saints, it literally is the same thing as holy, sanctified, set apart, is what it's talking about. And then in the Old Testament, it's also used some 35 times for saints, and one time for saints, plural, 35 times, four times as saint, singular. And so it's kind of interesting in the translation that they picked this word meaning saint. Now, when you think of saint, it's interesting. I don't necessarily think of a holy person. I mean, the word has been kind of co-opt, if you will. And, you know, there are certain denominations that talk a lot about saints and that kind of stuff. But the Bible says a lot about saints, obviously, 61 times. And we're going to talk about that. But it's interesting that the word saint, it's holy. And so when we talk about this verse, be therefore followers of God as become a saints, some people interpret that as become holy people, right? That's really what it's talking about, as become holy as God is holy. That's really the idea there. And that's what Peter says. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, and that's quoting Leviticus 44, I am the Lord your God. Ye therefore sanctify yourselves. So I want you to note that sanctification as becometh saints. Here it says, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And it says, sanctify yourself, set yourself apart. So that's one aspect of it. Be holy, for I am holy. And in Peter, that's the same word. Be ye holy, as is the word saint. For I am holy. That's the same word that is translated as saint. So there in that verse, it says, but fornication, all uncleanliness, let it not be named among you, as becometh saints. And we find this word, becometh, has to do, it is becomes, and it literally means fit or right. It is the right thing for us as children of God to be holy. Be ye holy as he is holy. That's what we should be, followers of God, as he is holy. That is what followers of God should look like. Followers of God should follow him as children. Followers of God should follow him in love. Followers of God should follow him as saints, or as holy people, God's holy people. That is the idea there. And this idea of sanctification, being saint, holy, it takes some to make something holy. It has to be sanctified. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart. And this word comes from that same word, holy. But this word sanctified is the process of making something holy, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, called to be saints. So sanctified is the process of being a saint, or the process, sanctified is the process of being holy, set apart, holy unto God. In Leviticus, talking about this same thing, I am the Lord your God, which sanctify you. Look at verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore. Be ye holy. Now, we can't sanctify ourselves if God hasn't sanctified us first. So that's one of the things that we need to make sure that we understand. Sanctification, the beginning of sanctification begins once we're saved. We start that process of being holy. God forgives us of all of our sins, makes us sanctified, and then the sanctification process is our choices, that we continue to choose to be holy unto him. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about what the Bible says about saints. Followers of God, following God as saints. What does that look like? What does the Bible talk about this process of holy, being holy, becoming holy, one that is it's fit to be holy. That is what we should be. We are vessels meant to be sanctified, meant to be holy unto the Lord. We're not meant to be unholy. Matter of fact, I think as children of God, that is the most miserable thing we can be because that's not how we're meant. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 talks about, for by grace we're saved, right? Not of yourselves, but of the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created unto good works for that purpose, to be sanctified, to be used of God. That is the use that we're set apart for, to be holy. And when we take that vessel and use it for something else, that's not what it's made for, and it doesn't work right. So we as children of God are made to be holy in our relationship with the Lord. Romans 8:27, in talking about saints and what the Bible says about this process of becoming saints, the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints. And he that searcheth the heart, talking about the Holy Spirit, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's interesting. So really, that's holy, right? And so when it talks about for the saints, a better rendering, or at least a rendering that is easier for me to see, is he makes intercession for God's holy people. Saints, that's literally what it means, for God's holy people. People who are following God and being holy as he is holy. So follow that out. He makes intercession for God's holy people. What about those who aren't holy, right? Children of God that aren't following him. Does he hear our prayers? I think our prayers are hindered when we aren't following him and using our vessel as he has intended for us. When we're not doing the will of God, when we're not forgiving others, we know there are things that hinder our prayers. And I like the fact that it's just not my praying, but the Holy Spirit literally makes intercession. And we know Jesus makes intercession also on our part. So it's interesting here, this idea of being holy, God's people, and it ties into even our prayer life reaching out to the Lord and all that he does for us. The Bible talks about that we as saints, that we could grasp the love of Christ. Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, right? With God's holy people, with everyone that is trying to be as God is. I am holy, be ye holy. That we may understand the cost, that we can understand the love of God. What is the breadth, length, depth, height? And to know the love of Christ. Now, it's interesting. It talks about that we can know what it is and that we can know how big it is. I wish I could grasp. I mean, when I stop and ponder it, I think about it, and I think, okay, I have it. I don't think we can grasp. And it says, which passeth, right? Which is greater than knowledge. But just because it's greater than what I can grasp doesn't mean that I shouldn't explore it, shouldn't try to understand it. I was reading an article the other day about oceans and places that nobody's ever been. Now, I like to go to the ocean, to the beach. I like to go out on, you know, deep sea fishing and all those things, and like to go to tidal pools and know things about the ocean. But, you know, There are places that we don't know about the ocean, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to understand it, right? And that is the way it is with God's love. It is so huge that we can't understand the full dimensions of it, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to understand and partake and explore it as we would other things in our life. And to know the love of Christ, which is greater than our knowledge, but we should still look into it so we could comprehend it, that ye may be filled with all fullness of God. So the more we understand the love of God, the more we are full of God, the more we're like God. What did God say? Be ye holy as I am holy. So to be full of God, holiness, right? His holiness. We need to understand that love that he has for us, that undying love, that the love that is totally sacrificial. We know John 3:16, but if you go to 1 John 3:16, and I don't know if they did this on purpose when they did the verses, but it says this, 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we see, comprehend, this is how we know the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, right? For God so loved the world, he sent. It's interesting, those two verses, one talks about the expression of God's love, and the other one talks about how we can see and comprehend, perceiving his love, that he laid down his life for us. And in talking about saints, the Bible talks about the perfecting of the saints, the perfecting of God's holy people, and it talks about churches of the saints. It's almost synonymous. There are some verses, and we'll talk about some of them. When it talks about the saints, it's literally talking about churches. I don't think there are any New Testament saints that weren't church people. That's what this talks about. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and he gave some, this is Jesus, instituting his church and organizing his church and how he did that. And what he gave to his church and why he gave these offices and these people to his church. And he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists. He gave some the ability to be these different officers, these different roles in his church. Some apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. So he called different people to fulfill these positions in his church. And why did he do this in his church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting of God's holy people, making us more like Jesus, making us, what did it say, full of God, that we could understand and be full like God, being more like Jesus, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it goes on, speaking to the church at Corinth, it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. As in all churches, right? Plural, individual, local churches of God's holy people. These churches are made up of God's holy people who are trying to be followers of God, disciples of Jesus Christ. And unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, right? That's the process of becoming holy. So I'm not perfect, so there's things I got to get rid of. I have to be more like Jesus, more like God, and that's the process that's called sanctified or sanctification, the process of being one of God's holy people, called to be saints, called to be God's holy people, with all that in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Romans 1, verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved, called to be saints. Called, we're all called, right? We are his workmanship, created unto good works, all called. If you think, should I be separated? Should I be living for God? That's our calling. Everyone that knows Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, is called to be obedient unto the Lord. Grace to you, peace from our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Also talks about the faith delivered unto the saints. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Remember I said that saint, where it's used there, oftentimes is synonymous with church. It can be interchangeable, delivered unto. These epistles are church books, literally written to churches, written unto saints who are God's holy people that make up these individual churches. And we should know what the faith is. The faith is different than faith. Good to talk about that a little bit. There's different kinds of faith, right? There's faith of just believing that something exists. There is the faith that we have to exercise saving faith. And then there's living by faith, those three different kinds of faith. But then there is the faith, or the doctrine and principles that we live by and are taught in, the doctrines and principles taught in the New Testament. It's interesting that the book of Revelations talks about saints quite a bit. And I want to point out four different places that it talks about saints. John tells us four things specifically about saints in the book of Revelation. Revelation 5, verse 8. When he had taken the book, this is the lamb that was slain, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. And this is the part I want you to get. Having every one of them, this is the elders, and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. There's a couple of places where it talks about prayers, and this is one of those. And vials, just a container. Now, I don't know how God contains our prayers. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how they're filed, how they're stored. But our prayers are important. So the point that they're put in containers, in prayers of the saints, prayers of God's holy people, are important to him. So we should come to him and ask of the things that we need. Be thankful through prayer. These things are important to him and should be important to us. Revelation 8, verse 3 and 4, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. So we see here the 24 elders had these vials, and then we also see that our prayers are being offered upon the golden altar with incense. We could talk about what all that means, but I think the point is that our prayers are important to God. And the smoke of incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. This is the one I want to talk about, patience. And he leadeth into captivity. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. So we see in this chapter an example of how that we see what saints, what God's holy people are doing in being patient to live for God, to follow His will, and the faith that God's holy people should have. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And then the third one there in the book of Revelation is rewards to the saints. And the nations were angry in the wrath to come in the time of the dead that they should be judged, that they should give reward unto the servants, unto thy servants, unto the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So rewards unto servants, unto prophets, but a reward unto saints, God's holy people. When we're obedient, when we're set apart, living our life for God, God's going to reward us in heaven. And then the last one I want to look at is the righteousness of the saints. And this is the marriage of the Lamb, Revelation 19. The bride has made herself ready, and to her is granted, and I believe this is the faithful, his churches that remain faithful unto him, going to be part of or going to make up the bride. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, or the righteousness, the right deeds, the obedience of God's holy people. Let's all stand. If the pianist and song leader will come forward. What page you got for us?